Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Danny Shares Stories. And joining Danny today is Danny's brother Michael.
Yo.
Welcome to the show, bro.
What's up? I've always thought it might be a little weird for people to have both of us on the same podcast with no video because we've been told several times that we have the same voice, even tricking our wives at one point.
Yeah.
And they'll fall for it.
See, I've heard that about Tony. That Tony and I sound a lot alike from Ashley.
Oh, yeah.
But I haven't heard that from Ashley, that you sound like me, but I mean,
I've just heard it from other people. And then I think you've gotten Glow a couple times, which she'll deny that.
Yeah. Glow is your wife, yes. For context.
Yes.
Yeah. You guys have been married.
Coming up on 13 years. No, we've been together 13 years this year and married for... 7 in September.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah.
So, I want to do this thing where, before I get into my predictions segment, where I predict the future, since you're my first guest, I want to ask you two things you like about yourself, and then one thing that you're growing through.
Wow.
In any particular order.
Two things I like about myself.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is it's super easy for me to make people laugh, especially when I take my shirt off. The second thing that I like about myself is...
Because you're ripped, everyone...
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Can't see him because, you know, obviously no video, but
yeah.
He's completely ripped.
Yeah.
People see him and they're like, for it's sure. Hilarious how big your muscles are.
They're mainly laughing at my lopsided titty, but... The second thing would probably be I can just pretty much cook, like...
Oh, that's so true.
Anything that... Like, I can't tell you how many times in the last 2 years that I've just cooked, and someone's like, what are you making?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know.
So you just start making food.
I just start making food.
And you add the spices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, your manicotti is amazing.
Thanks. It's been a while since I made that.
Your manicot, as they
say. Manicot! Yeah.
On the, what's the show? The Sopranos. The manicot.
Manicot. Is that really what they say?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they call pasta sauce gravy,
too. Ooh, okay. That's a sin.
But
definitely
yeah,
not gravy.
You're good at making food.
I mean, I'm good compared to the average person. When you start comparing me to a chef, like... Gordon Ramsay would probably beat me over the head with bread.
I'd say you're in the top 5 of most households.
Wow.
As far as, like, food that I've been, like, over and they made food and it's just, like, decent.
Yeah.
But, yeah, your food always hits.
That's always good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And then, so that's what you like.
Yeah. So the third thing, what is the
third thing is something that you're growing through.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Something that you feel like maybe... a weakness, but you're working on it.
Yeah.
Or you don't want to work on it. It's just one of your weaknesses.
I mean, this year, more than anything, just personal development. I think that it was a breakthrough this year compared to any year in my life just because I've realized a lot of things. And I think that just to not go too crazy in depth with it, bitterness and unforgiveness. I think that the sooner that I realize that holding on to something, whatever somebody did to you, you're really only screwing yourself. It's just doing you more harm holding on to it. And you can think about it like this. If you get hit by a car...
Pretty bitter. If I haven't been hit by a car, but I'd be pretty bitter.
Yeah. If you get hit by a car and you're hospitalized, maybe break a bone or two, you can be pissed at the person who hit you with a car. Like, everybody's going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Right? But nobody's going to be, like, after you get hit by the car, that person isn't responsible for how you react later throughout your life.
Right.
So that's kind of how I identified being bitter and not forgiving somebody who wronged me, like, 3 years ago. Like, they did it and forgot it. And they probably forgot about me 5 months after it happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, I carried it for years. And it's like, dude, it's only affected me that whole time.
Uh-huh.
You know? And the sooner you let it go, the sooner you can move on and start to appreciate life for what it's really worth, because you're just going to be a cancer to every single person around you, because you start taking it out on other people and it's just not worth it. Yeah. So I think
people
that's a
feel
big
that
thing
vibe from you. If you're in a, like a negative, unforgiving mood, people yeah. pick up on it.
Yeah.
Wow.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I was telling you the other day, that I've noticed that through the years, there's people that are, you know, vacuums, and then there's people that are batteries. And you can either be energized by people that you're around, or you can just walk into a room and then just suck the life and soul out of every single person you're around.
That's a good analogy, yeah.
For me, I was a vacuum. Like, for at least the last 3 years, I've been a vacuum.
Mm.
Just sucking the life out of so many people. And it, you know, the first step is just realizing that, because then you can actually change it. But I never would have got to that point if I didn't start making significant changes in my life. And that first one is just cutting out video games. I'm gonna be honest. Cutting out video games was a huge thing for me, because I just realized all of the things that I wasn't doing that I could have been doing to better myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody does that. They come home, turn on the TV, or they start playing video games, they get lost, and then
it's
they wake up. Yeah, it's a routine, for sure.
Good or bad, it's a routine.
For sure. And just getting out of that and just reading a book, going to the gym, just doing that really has just helped.
One thing that I have realized this about you over the years is that when you're on something, like, you're laser focused on it. Like, you get obsessive, which is a good, and it could be a bad quality, but more recently it's been a good quality for you. You've taken that, like, obsessiveness and applied it to learning a new trade. I mean, look at this room and all this stuff that you're working on.
Before this, I didn't even know how to turn a light switch on. And now, you know, I know, but I'm learning about 3-point lighting and all these different things. But I appreciate that, dude. Yeah, it's definitely a blessing and a curse. I think
for sure.
28 years of my life, it was a curse.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, you're growing up.
Yeah. You fixate on stuff, and fixating on the right thing can help, but even fixating on the right thing can be horrible, because then you get burnt out. And that's what I've learned, is that was my problem with fitness for the longest time, is I have to do, if I'm going to go to the gym, then I have to go 5 days a week, and I have to have a strict routine and do it 45 minutes minimum, and I have to have the best routine, but then I have to look into the best form for every exercise. And then,
yeah, I noticed that about you when we went and worked out, and I told you, I was like, we're going to do curls, and you brought up the video, you were like, no, this is how I want to do curls. And I said, dude, I was just like, bro,
it's not that deep.
It's arms, okay?
It's not that deep.
Yeah.
If you hurt in the right spot,
yeah,
that's the goal of the exercise. You're triggering that muscle.
But the guy that was showing you how to do it was a lot more muscular than me. So
that was my train of thought, exactly.
Yeah,
I'm not going to listen to this string bean.
Skinny prick trying to show me how to lift weights.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you're very detail oriented. I think I am too, to a degree. Dad, whenever he was trying to teach us how to do plumbing, he got me to a certain point with it that he was like, all right, I want you to go and run the water for this part of the house.
Hmm.
And I was like, okay, I got it. I know how to do it. I've seen you do it 15 times. So I go and I start my process of, like, you know, measuring and cutting the pipe and making sure everything's good. And then I start doing a little soldering, you know, soldering some copper pipes. And he comes back like 2 or 3 hours later to check on me. And he goes, is this all you've done? And I'm just like, yeah, why? And he goes, dude, I'm on this side of the house. I've already done all this crap. What? You're so slow. I was just like, dude, that's who I am. That's my personality. I'm slow and methodical. I'm not, you know, as fast as he is.
it's really interesting what traits we get from one parent but not the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you get things from mom and you get things from dad, but you don't get like all of dad's traits,
right?
And all of mom's traits.
It's heritage, you know. Have you seen Sons of Anarchy?
Dude, yes.
So good.
Love that show.
The end of that show. It's been a
while, yes.
The end of that show is amazing.
Yeah.
With just everything, visually, the story getting to a certain point. And then even, like, the music at the end. I don't remember the song, but it's, like, a really good song. And it's the end message was just, like, you know, sins of the father.
Oof.
And that burden. I'm not saying that, you know. There's our dad is a crime boss and that his whole motorcycle gang falls on our shoulders.
I mean, he might have been a part of a gang at one point.
One thing that I think he might have. And here's the thing about that is, so we're Italian. We're part Italian, a very small part. Our cousins are actually more Italian than us. Now, you know what? They're Sicilian, and that's okay. And technically, yes, that's Italian, and that's okay, but Sicilian. You know, our lineage is from Naples, which is better in every way, and that's okay. But moving on, every Italian that I have encountered thinks that they had some sort of connection to the mafia. And that is so annoying and overused. And it's just a tired thing for Italians to think. Yeah, great granny, she was in the mafia for sure. She owned part of the Bronx. It's like, dude, no, she didn't. Your dad was a plumber. And his dad was in the plumber. And his dad was in the Navy and got an award that you should have got. But whatever, it went to your cousin.
But also, stop doing that with your voice, too, right?
What do you mean?
That, like, do they even talk like that? You know, are you doing that just for this bit is what I'm getting at. Like, they change their voice to fit their
purpose. Like Marlon Brando. I'll do you a favor. You can refuse.
That's exactly what I'd be like. No, they weren't in the mob, but also, you can go back to your normal voice.
Yeah.
Because no one's buying it.
Yeah.
Also, put down your briefcase.
Yes.
There's nothing in there.
There's no mafia. So, we're going to go ahead and go into this next part of the show where I like to predict the future. Now, there's a difference between being silly and making predictions about the future and manifesting. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Like manifesting certain things?
Yeah, definitely.
This is not that, okay? This is not that deep. This is just me calling the future. And here's the future.
Speaking of, I actually manifested the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Anyways, go ahead.
Well, good job. And I can tell you that 95% of the world hates you for it.
Okay.
Mine is what is also about the sports. It's about sports ball, you know? Have you seen a girl with the sunglasses that shows up to the college game and she's like, go team, go sports. Yeah, go team.
I want to say yes just for the sake of the podcast, but no.
Okay. Well, it's a good meme. So yeah, sports. My predictions is that obviously the Nuggets are going to the finals.
Mm.
And it'll be against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not that much of a prediction. Because the Nuggets are, you know, just completely dominating the NBA. But you know what? This is my podcast, and I wanted to talk about basketball. So,
Oh, well, we should just go right into that, too. Michael was a bench warmer his whole life.
It's okay. It's all right. Did you even enjoy playing basketball?
Not at all.
Okay.
I actually pretended to for a long time just to fit in. I mean, everybody was doing it in our group, so it was like, if you're a guy that's in the group that doesn't want to play basketball or doesn't like it,
yeah,
what do you have that's in common?
Right.
At that point.
So you were doing it for the community.
Yeah, I said I liked it. I thought I liked it. I literally thought I liked basketball clear up until I was like 20, and then I was like, wow. And I hadn't even been playing at that point. I stopped when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, wow, I actually didn't
enjoy it as much as I thought I did. Don't get me wrong, it's fun to go shoot hoops and stuff, but...
It is fun.
Yeah. I should have put more time into drumming.
Yeah. Do you remember when, after basketball practice, Dad would take us to go get ice cream in the 15-passenger van? There was me, you, and Robbie.
Yeah, like it was yesterday.
Yeah. He would take us... We would ask him at, like, 9:30 at night. Like, hey, can you get us ice cream? And he would be like, yeah, because he's awesome. So we pull into the McDonald's drive-thru, and he would say, can I get, you know, 4 ice cream cones? And what do you think they said?
I mean, probably, sure.
Sure.
Or, yeah, we have that.
Hardly ever. It felt like the McDonald's that we always went to, the ice cream machine was always down.
Every time.
Every single time.
After 7, you can guarantee it.
Yeah. So I think the first couple times, it was like, oh, you know, okay, I guess we're just going to go home. But eventually it got to the point where it was consistently their ice cream machine. I think they turned it off at like 9 o'clock. And by the time we got there at like 9:30, it was never on. Or they would just say it's broken. So Dad, he got angry. He got pretty upset. And he would be like, freaking communists. And all the three of us were like, communists? How is this communist? And so he would go to a different McDonald's and be like, you know, hey, ice cream. And they'd be like, yeah, it's broken. And it kind of just became this thing where every single McDonald's that we went to, their ice cream machine was down. Am I remembering that right, or was there more to that?
No, it was like 3 times in the same night that it happened. But it was, I mean, obviously we did that several times throughout the season. And it led up to the point of him where you're getting at.
Yeah. And is it hyperbole to say that he would tell that to the person?
I don't know what that word means, but... Probably.
Like, over-exaggerating the story? Would it be over-exaggerating to say that he, like, yelled that at the McDonald's drive-thru person?
No.
That they're a communist?
No, he yelled it at the speaker.
Okay. See, that's what I thought, and I think I remembered it that way, but...
Dude, no, he just did, like, a double take at us, because he was like, that was the third place we went to.
Yeah.
And he does a double take after they say our ice cream machine's down, freezes, and then goes... Communists!
Yes. Yeah. He would yell communists at them, which was amazing.
And Robbie was just dying in the backseat, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a very contagious laugh. I mean, I'm sure he still does. We just haven't talked to him in a while. But so that's one funny story about Dad. The other story I wanted to share with you, I don't know if you remember this, but it's about Mom. So do you remember listening to like a lot of music whenever you were in high school? Like kind of discovering music.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Like popular music in high school.
I mean, I would listen to Mudvayne at night when I was like 9.
Because that's pretty young.
I hit a radio that I got at a garage sale. Mom didn't know about it.
Oh, you were listening to the radio.
Well, yeah, I was listening to 94.3 Kilo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And cram it.
Yeah, when Mom was in the kitchen, I would just play it in the room and, like, have it under my pillow so that way she didn't know that I had a... You know, she's going to throw it away as soon as she finds out.
Yeah.
But I was taking our little Tyke's radio, taking a tape onto it, putting it in there because it doubled as a recorder. And I would take the little Tyke's microphone out, put it by the radio station.
Feed it back into the speaker?
And feed it back in. And then I'd start getting my own mixtape. With cassette players, like cassette tapes.
And then she goes to, you know, play some 90s Christian tape.
And it's Mudvayne, like Mudvayne. Let me help you tie the rope around your neck.
Wow.
Literally. That's lyric for lyric.
Jeez. So I liked rock too, but I listen to more like, you know, the chill stuff.
I mean, you listen to Slipknot. You had it on your phone at one point. The ringtone.
Yeah.
Before I forget.
Yeah. My one story with Mom, though, that I thought was interesting is she came into my room one night and I was listening to Boston. You know the band Boston?
Yes.
They have the art on the CD that's like the big UFO, the spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
They really only had like two or three good songs. But I was listening to them. She comes in and she's like, "What are you doing up?" And she comes over and she looks at the song. And the name of the song is Foreplay. And it's Foreplay / Long Time or whatever.
Oh, God.
And she looks at me and she's like, "Are you, you know, watching?" And I was just like, "Yes, but not right now." And that's not what you think it is. But that was so confusing to her. She was like, "Why are you listening to a song called Foreplay at midnight right now, alone in your room?"